You can take your Bibles. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. Throughout this week, we've been, of course, looking at the riches of God's grace, which is a subject that is just so all-encompassing and so deep and rich and full that it'll take eternity for us to genuinely appreciate it. But we have been appreciating it, haven't we? You know, when I first started to learn of God's grace, there was a very simple definition that I was taught that through all the years is held up as being very wonderful, that grace is unmerited divine favor. Grace, in that light, is God to man. And we've seen that it includes His provision, His supply, the giving of His Word, needed information for us to believe. It so much culminates and is understood in light of the giving of His Son, isn't it? Talk about grace. God sent His Son into the world to save us, and we certainly were so unworthy and undeserving, but yet God did that, and the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished it. As a result, now we are complete in Christ, and that's grace. The gift of Holy Spirit is grace. We've been saved by grace, and we have all spiritual blessings by God's grace. In light of that, you can see that these are great things, fabulous things, magnificent things that God has done, that He's given to us. We've also seen that once grace is received, that it's to be incorporated into the heart, the thinking patterns of the believer, isn't it? That we're to become strong in the grace of God, that our hearts are to be established in the grace of God, that we're to live by the grace of God and serve by the grace of God. It's interesting, a number of us, really months ahead to this camp, started studying grace, of course. Our pilot council and Dan and I, and we started studying grace. And certainly one of the things when you do and study a topic is you start looking up all the different uses of the word grace. There's a lot of them. In fact, one of you, Kevin, you mentioned to me that you had done that prior to this camp. As you begin to study the word grace, you'll see that over and over and over again, it fits this pattern, this definition of undeserved divine favor. But then there's a number of uses that sort of stick out. A number of uses that don't necessarily refer to simply God's gracious supply to man. And we're going to look at some of those uses this morning, because in light of what we've seen this week, I believe we'll see a wonderful biblical pattern. So this morning I'd like to share on the return to God. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says in verse 5, having predestinated us unto sonship, huiothesis, the placing of sons, by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. God having placed us as sons is now described in verse 6, to a desired end. It says, to the praise of the glory of His, what? Grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. God, in making us His sons, in placing us as His sons, that's grace. That's God to man, isn't it? By grace you are saved. But it's unto the praise of the glory of His grace. That's man back to who? God. See, by grace we've been saved, but it's to the end, to the return of praise unto God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And you stop and think about it. We read earlier in this week the first chapter of Ephesians. There's so much in there that God has done for us. Isn't it just so logical, so absolutely almost axiomatic, you would think, that it would redound back unto God's glory and praise? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says in verse 15, for all things are for your sakes. Boy, that's quite a statement, isn't it? For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of who? God. You see the return of grace back to God with thanksgiving? See, that tremendous grace that we've received is to be returned back to God with thanksgiving. Certainly one of the men that has blessed our lives, and either directly or indirectly in so many ways, his life's work, is a man named E.W. Bullinger. E.W. Bullinger understood this return of grace to God because he defined grace in his lexicon, his Bible dictionary. Grace on the part of the giver is favor. And we know who the giver is, right? It's God. It's favor to us. But grace on the part of the receiver, and who's the receiver in this transaction? Us, is thanks. In fact, the word grace, charis, is so closely associated with this return to God in many of its uses that it is translated in the Bible as thanks. And I want to look at some of those uses with you. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, where we spent some time yesterday. It says in verse 17, "But God be thanked." That word thanked is the word charis, grace. Perhaps a better translation is, "But thanks be to God," or "Grace be to God, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." See, as a result of having received God's word and believing it, and getting delivered from the bondage of sin, what's the logical return to God? Thanks. Isn't that simple? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. At first, what seemed to be just a dilemma. How could the word grace, which is referring to unmerited divine favor, be translated thanks? Well, after all that we've seen this week of what God has done for us, of His abounding grace towards us, isn't it just so logical? Isn't it so much our very desire to respond to Him with praise and thanksgiving? In 1 Timothy chapter 1 is another one of these uses, verse 12. "And I thank," charis, grace, "I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." See, it was God, His Son Jesus Christ, that put Paul into the ministry by grace. That was certainly unmerited divine favor from God to man. But the return of Paul was thanks. So he was very, very thankful for having received that ministry. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're only going to look at some of these uses. There's certainly others that where the word grace is translated thanks. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 15, it says, "Thanks, grace. Thanks be unto God for His," what? "Unspeakable gift." Boy, isn't that tremendous? You know, we are born again of God's Spirit. God's Spirit born within is so awesome, it's so tremendous, that we really don't have words to tell about it. It's unspeakable. We can't really describe it in its fullness. It's just beyond our human ability to express it. But boy, one thing that we can have in our hearts is great thanksgiving for it. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Do you see the grace in that? See, the grace from God to us has given us the unspeakable gift. And our return to God is, thank you, Father. I'm so thankful to be born again of God's Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 14, it says, now thanks, charis, grace, be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Boy, in this life we can triumph. We're more than conquerors. We can have victory after victory as we simply trust our Heavenly Father, as we put our confidence in believing His Word and walking by the Spirit. And as a result, thanks be unto God. See, for the victory we see in this life. And then look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. First Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 57, it says, but thanks, grace, charis, be to who? God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this victory is the final victory. The context here are the events of Christ's coming to gather the church. And as a result of that, we know that the final victory, the total complete victory, is assured. Boy, you talk about reason to rejoice, reason to have thanksgiving to God. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift, the gift of Holy Spirit. Thanks be unto God that during this life, He always causes us to triumph in Christ. And thanks be unto God that when Christ returns, we'll receive the victory. This is all bestowed upon us by God's grace, but we, out of a heart of thanksgiving, of praise, of love for Him, can return that grace back up unto Him. And this is His desire. It's kind of, I guess you could say, a virtuous cycle, isn't it? A gracious cycle. See, that's completed by the heart of a believing one returning praise, thanksgiving unto God. Out of God's goodness, out of His joy, out of His great delight and pleasure, grace has been bestowed upon us, the believing ones. And we now can live with great joy and thanksgiving, which redounds back unto God, unto His glory, unto His praise, and unto His increased pleasure, delight, and joy. You know, you as parents, haven't you just rejoiced this week to see your kids having such a fun time here? I rejoiced last night to see the teenagers in particular having such a ball at the dance. I mean, you know, there's a reward to that, isn't there? You say, man, you know, maybe it was worth it to get all the way out to California or do all this stuff. Just, you know, because when you see your kids really living it up, getting blessed, having joy, being happy, it brings joy to your heart, doesn't it? How about our Heavenly Father? See, when we delight in the things that He has graciously bestowed upon us, it brings joy to Him. It brings great delight and pleasure to our Heavenly Father as we respond to His grace and return it back up unto Him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're there almost. There's another aspect to grace that, again, perhaps at first look or at first study seems difficult or out of the understanding of grace being God to man. Because in the New Testament, grace is also used of what we would call abundant sharing. It's used of the law of giving and receiving. You can see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in verse 3. Well, verse 2, it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. The word liberality is the word grace. See, the word grace, referring to financial giving. But it's very, very wonderful to consider this. Verse 2, it's in the context of as God hath done what? Prospered him. See, really, the Bible teaches that all wealth, all good things, all the stuff that blesses and prospers a human being originally comes from God. That's grace. See, God having prospered the believer, well, the logical, biblical return to God is financial giving. That's what this is teaching. It's grace returned unto God. You know, one of the things that has oftentimes been obscured or even lost in the operation of the principles of giving and receiving is that when we abundantly share, it is a gift, it is giving unto God. And when that gets lost, then the primary blessing and the primary purpose that God intended it for man gets lost. Look at Genesis chapter 14. See, I think we think, well, we're giving to this organization or to this person. And certainly, since God has no hands, somebody's got to receive it and utilize it, and there's a benefit there. But the great truth in the Word is that financial giving, the sharing of our abundance, is back unto God out of thanksgiving. And certainly, He's the only one that then can bless and multiply that seed sown. You can see this in the record of Genesis. We won't take the time, Genesis 14, to read this whole record, but what had occurred was there was a little bit of a battle that went on, centered around Sodom and Gomorrah. And these kings that got together came in and, you know, won. They conquered Sodom and Gomorrah, and they took away captive Abram's nephew named Lot. And when that occurred, Abram got rather concerned, got together his 300-plus trained guys from his household and went out to battle. And God, by His grace, His love, His concern for His man Abram, caused Abram to be triumphant, to have a tremendous victory. And he brought back Lot and brought back the spoil, and they're all blessed, you know, joyous. Wouldn't you be? Somebody came in and racked and ruined your place and took captive one of your relatives, and you went out and you're victorious. And well, look at what, as a result, it says in verse 17, Genesis 14, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him, to meet Abram after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings which were with him at the valley of Shepha, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him. He blessed Abram and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he, Abram, gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all. See, this was the result of God's goodness being shown to Abram. And it was out of thanksgiving, out of love, out of praise to God, that Abram then gave tithes to Melchizedek. First use of tithe in the Bible, by the way. Look at Leviticus chapter 27. You know, one of the things that is so apparent as we work God's Word is that God is very, very concerned about the heart of people. You know, says, doesn't it, Samuel, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart? You know, I guess in many things in the Word, you could go through the motions and have a good outward appearance, but God is very, very concerned about the heart behind it. In Leviticus chapter 27, this is part of the law given to Moses. It says in verse 30, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is whose? The Lord's. It is holy unto who? The Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto who? The Lord." See, it's God's. It's the return to God of God having prospered, having blessed man. Now look at Proverbs chapter 3. See, this is clear throughout the Word. Now, in the Old Testament, the Levites were the ones who received the tithes. They're the ones that lived off the tithes, so to speak. But from the heart of the believer, it's not a gift to the Levites. It's a gift unto who? God, out of thanksgiving, out of joy. In Proverbs chapter 3, it says in verse 9, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." See, by this giving, it's to honor who? The Lord. Now we go to the New Testament, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. With that as background, we can start to understand why God uses the word grace for abundant sharing. See, what God has blessed us with by His grace, God to man, we're to return unto Him out of thanksgiving, out of love, out of joy for His bountiful provision. You might take some time to read through 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 because the word grace is used repeatedly in this way. But we're going to pick up the record in verse 6. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also," what? "Bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a," what? "Cheerful giver." You know, if it's grudging or if it's a necessity, there's something wrong. You know, as we used to say, keep it. Keep it in your pocket. See, but God wants our heart, doesn't He? He wants His people to be so blessed. And out of that cheerful heart, it's a return unto God. Not grudging, not necessity, not a matter of legalistic adherence or anything else, but out of love for God. See, the inclusion of God in everything that we do. Living for Him joyously. Because we're cognizant of what He's done for us by His grace. In verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye every once in a while, having a little bit of sufficiency in some things, may sort of get by, and then every once in a while get to a good work or two." Look at verse 8. It says, "God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." Verse 9, "As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread unto for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your," what? "Righteousness." But you see how God is involved in each aspect of this transaction? He's the one that initiated it. See, He's the one that gave us the seed to sow. See, and then as we sow that seed, He prospers it. See, and the result of it is fruit, blessings. And then as we take of that blessing and return it back unto Him, then He can multiply it more and more and more to the blessing not only of us, but of others. And certainly unto the glory, the honoring of our Heavenly Father. It says in verse 11, being enriched in everything, in all bountifulness, which causes through us, what? Thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So these are two very unique uses of the word grace in the New Testament. It's translated very accurately, very wonderfully, as thanks. But it's the thanksgiving that results from the realization of what God has done for us, what God has blessed us with. And it's also used repeatedly in reference to financial sharing, which again is in response to God's goodness. For God having blessed us, having prospered us, having given great grace to us, and us returning that back unto God in His honor, to His glory, with thanksgiving. Out of all this, we certainly can see the goodness of our God and also His great desire to be involved in every aspect of our life. God's great purpose, God's great concern has always been to have a people that would love Him in return for His love. We could say a people that would grace Him back for His grace. See, that would thank Him for His bountiful provision. God is the supplier. He's the provider. He's the giver of everything that we need, including right, trustworthy information. Boy, that thing has rung true for me throughout this week. God's Word has been so great, and His information has been so reliable for this camp. But boy, have I gotten a lot of wrong information during this week from men. Oh. Yeah, a couple of those days. Just do the exact opposite of what I announce, and you'll be right. I was told this morning that the helicopter was done in the valley. Here we are. But how about God? Has God's Word ever failed anyone? Ever? Never will. See, the giver, by His grace, of reliable, trustworthy information. And certainly the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who sent Jesus Christ out of His love, out of His goodness, His grace and concern, so that we could be rescued from all the crap that we were in and now given the more abundant life seated on high. Boy, as a result of that, of getting a glimpse this week of the tremendous riches of God's grace, don't we have so much to be thankful for? So much that God has provided for us so completely. His Son has accomplished such a complete redemption, and His Word is such a perfect revelation, such an understandable revelation, so that we can live therein. And boy, now we've been born into a family of brothers and sisters. And when you have a fellowship of believers like we've had this week, of like-minded, wonderful, loving believers, it just ministers grace one to another, doesn't it? Just so wonderful. You know, through the week, there's just the negatives, the complaining, all the murmurings and disputing, so commonplace in our day-by-day living. They've just sort of fallen by the wayside. And we've just been lifted up because of the goodness of God. See, living love together as a family, so much to be thankful for. See, and we could just go on and on and on in rejoicing in light of what God has done for us. God does in the Word tell us, be thankful. In all things, give thanks. See, it's not for all things, but in everything, give thanks. See, and we certainly have so much to be thankful for. And that thanksgiving back unto God is His reward. That praise back unto God is His desire. It's what blesses his heart when his people love him back for his gracious supply. It's not that we have to supply anything for God. He's got it all. But he so desires that we would love him in response to his love. And boy, as we continue to build that grace of God into our lives, it just overflows in thanksgiving, in praise unto him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You know, in this administration of the grace of God, because of the accomplishments of his Son, Jesus Christ, we have so much more available to us. And God has so much more available for him. In this administration, every one of us have been given that complete package of the new birth. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And included in that package is the marvelous, wondrous, awe-inspiring ability to speak in tongues. Something that was not available until the day of Pentecost. And it's by that great provision of God, by His grace, that now we can bring glory unto Him through speaking in tongues. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 17, "For," and the context is when you speak in tongues, "for thou verily giveth thanks," what? "Well, but the other's not edified." See, this is between you and God. But because God has given us the Spirit, and that Spirit includes that awesome ability to speak in tongues, we can return it back unto God by giving thanks well. Verse 16 says, "Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest?" Again, in reference to speaking in tongues. Here it's in reference to giving thanks to God and also to blessing God. See, one rendering of that word bless is to praise God. See, to speak well of God, to return unto God praise and thanksgiving. You can read in many places up to Pentecost of people that were very, very thankful to God. But prior to Pentecost, the best that they could do was to thank Him with their understanding. We have the added, the much greater ability to give thanks well, to praise God perfectly via the Spirit. In John chapter 4, boy, you can see in this why it's an abundance of grace, why it's an administration that's characterized by grace. One of the things we've seen that stands oftentimes in opposition to the grace of God is human wisdom. You know, God in His incredible ability and design and providence and provision for us designed speaking in tongues that it bypasses human wisdom. Isn't that neat? You know, you can't mess it up. It's not dependent on our logic, our thinking, but it's just an ability by which we can praise Him perfectly, by which we can give Him thanksgiving in the way that He desires to receive thanksgiving, by the Spirit. In John chapter 4, it says in verse 23, "But the hour cometh," Jesus Christ is speaking prophetically, "and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in" what? "Truth," or truly via the Spirit. See, speaking in tongues is the true worship that God desires. It comes to us, the ability came to us because of the Spirit. But now that we have the Spirit, we can speak in tongues and return to God unto His perfect worship, His true worship, the worship that He desires. Boy, giving thanks well unto God, praising Him perfectly, truly worshiping Him. Do you see the return back unto God of what He desires all by His grace? That gracious provision of the gift of Holy Spirit enables us to return it back unto His glory with thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Well, to close this morning, let's go to the last psalm in your Bible, the 150th psalm. It is possible, as we saw the other night, for a person to receive the grace of God in vain. If a born-again one's been so blessed by the new birth and then loses thankfulness, never worships God, doesn't praise God, just sort of curses the day he was born, well, in this life, not much fruit, huh? Not much blessing. Just living like a lousy unbeliever. But boy, out of response to God's grace and goodness, see, we can return unto God that which is, He desires, the honor, the praise, the thanksgiving, the worship. See, and out of that, God is blessed because His children are loving Him back for that which He has done. In Psalms, the 150th, the last of the Psalms, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp and with the guitar and the piano. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance." We did that last night, didn't we? "Praise Him with stringed instrument and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Heavenly Father, thank You for the great grace that You've bestowed upon us, and that we in part can just return that unmerited divine favor unto You through hearts of thanksgiving, hearts that honor You, hearts that love You, that worship You and praise You. Father, may this be a wonderful day, redounding unto Your glory, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.